I call the September 17, 2018 regular board meeting of Glencoe Park District to order. Lisa, please call the roll and note the time.
7 o'clock. Commissioner Bourne?
Yes.
Commissioner Kimball is absent right now. Commissioner Ludden?
Here.
Commissioner Underdonk?
Here.
President Brooks?
Yes. All right, so we'll move to consent agenda items. A through F are routine. Does any commissioner want any item pulled from the consent agenda items?
Okay. Lisa, I do not, but I would just point out the agenda for today's meeting that it's actually Monday, not Tuesday, as it says.
Thank you.
I didn't know. It didn't even occur to me.
So noted. Thank you. I apologize for that. Yeah. Should have said Monday.
For anyone who is confused, it actually is Monday. Okay. I entertain a motion to approve the minutes of July 17, 2018, regular board meeting with updated commissioner titles and the remaining consent agenda items as presented.
I can make a motion, but it was a couple of weeks. I did not attend that.
So we'll let Stephanie. We'll let John.
Second.
Okay. Roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Bourne?
Yes.
Commissioner Kimball?
Yes.
Who entered at 7:01? Commissioner Ludden?
Yes.
Just for the record. Commissioner Underdonk?
Yes.
President Brooks?
Yes.
All right.
So, motion passed. It's our practice to address questions at this time, not to address questions at this time. However, we do take comments. Our practice is to limit comments to 3 minutes per person, if that is okay. And does anyone have any comments they'd like to make? Okay. We will move to the approval of resolution number 887, Brad Janice, 20 years service.
Oh.
And I am going to read the resolution. Okay, it's a lot of whereases. Here we go. Glencoe Park District commemorative resolution number 887, Brad Janice, 20 years of service recognition. Whereas Brad Janice was employed by the Glencoe Park District on the staff of the Parks and Facilities team beginning on September 14, 1998. Whereas Brad has been a vital part of the Parks and Facilities team in which he has, over the years, provided expert equipment operation, efficient mowing, professional trade work, and a thoughtful approach to the upkeep of the Glencoe Park District, and whereas his service, passion, and skill as parks maintenance has been an asset to the Glencoe Park District, and whereas Brad has served the Glencoe Park District in a loyal and faithful manner for 20 years, now, therefore, be it resolved, the Glencoe Park District Board of Commissioners, representing all the residents of the Park District, recognize the meritorious service of Brad Janice and record it in the permanent record of the Glencoe Park District for all to see. This resolution shall be in full force and in effect immediately upon its passage. Adopted this 17th day of September 2018, pursuant to a roll call vote as follows. I entertain a motion to approve resolution number 887, Brad Janice 20 years service resolution as presented.
So moved.
Any discussion? Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
So the motion passes.
That's right. We have Brad come on up.
Brad, you've got to come up now.
And then Chris, being his direct supervisor, would like to say a few words.
I'd like to just let everybody know what a really important member of the team Brad is. Brad is really our most skilled equipment operator. Just recently, pretty much single-handedly demolished 3 playgrounds. He's a force to be reckoned with in a piece of equipment. Brad is the most senior member of the parks maintenance team in a department where much of the staff are newer in their roles. Brad's experience and his agency knowledge is really something that's very important to the park district. His work can absolutely be seen in every single park in the park district, and I really just wanted to thank him for all his hard work and everything that he does here, whether it's equipment operations, snow removal, cutting grass, running the beach cleaner. I mean, really, he drives the Zamboni. He really is a jack of all trades when it comes to the park department. So we're very lucky to have him. Thank you, Brad.
Excellent. All right. Can you go around? Lisa's going to give it, and you can take a picture.
You have to take a picture.
You can stay, or you can leave. Whichever you want. I think I know his choice, but whatever.
Given what's coming next, I'm going to suggest...
Considering the beers are on tonight.
Yes. Okay, so we will move on to the financial report. 6 months of the fiscal year are...
Yeah, really don't have anything really additional to present. What's already included in your packet, I kind of open it up to any questions that you do have, but we're pretty much in line with past previous 2 years as far as the comparison. I think the beach kind of held its own, and compared to prior years, we're right in the area of, you know, it might be a little bit lower, but I think when it's all said and done, we're going to be very similar to the last year at least, if not the last two, as far as the boating and beach operations.
Any questions?
The contractual under the rec department line item, so that's all the vendors that you pay for the rec.
Primary one there is the Glencoe Junior Kindergarten. So we basically take in all their registration and pay it out as a contractual provider. The bulk of that is for GJK, but it's other contractual programs as well.
Okay.
Quick question. It's come to my attention we are doing some shared services with the school district, and does that include lawn mowing and tree trimming and anything else?
What we do is that we do their tree trimming, because we went out to bid for our contractual tree trimming. So we do that, and then we bill them for what work they do, and they pay us back. But we do not do their lawn service, only on athletic fields, which are shared use. So we don't do their lawn maintenance around their buildings, but the athletic fields we do.
And they do reimburse us for any like fertilizers or any kind of stuff that we would put down on their property.
Yeah. And we've been doing that for years. The tree trimming started about two years ago?
2 years ago.
Yeah, but the lawn maintenance has been a standard agreement for years.
Okay, and then we have a standard agreement with them.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. Yeah, I'd like to add, you probably know I just got back from big European tours at this end. And I would put our parks up against any place I've been, all over, Switzerland, Germany, the Netherlands. They're just really maintained to a high level, and appreciate all the work that goes into that.
Okay. Better than Switzerland. Did you get
say that into the microphone.
All right. So if there's no other questions, we will move to invite members of the Friends of the Green Bay Tree to give a presentation to the board. Thank you.
Thank you. Is this on or do I need it or... Good?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay, great.
Do you have the clicker?
I do have the clicker. Thank you. You remind me if I don't click forward. Before I start, I just wanted to take a moment and say thank you to the commissioners. Because I think one thing that I know I forget, and I think a lot of other residents forget, is that these guys are volunteers. You give up time from your life where you could be doing other things, and that's very generous of you, and I know that everybody has a moment here and say, oh, gee, thank you, 100%. So I just wanted to say thank you. I appreciate what you do. On with my presentation. I just wanted to bring you up to date because a lot has been going on at SOSA. You can see the before, which I know you're all very familiar with, the buckthorn on the left, and lots and lots and lots of poison ivy on the right. We hope popcorn is pretty much gone, and the poison ivy, it will soon all be gone. It's mostly gone now. I have to say that, again, I'm going to thank you, and particularly Chris. You guys have been great, as the village has as well, dedicating resources to helping us really get that ground prepared right. So this is going to be a successful project with, I think, extraordinary results because of the care that we've taken together to make this ready for restoration. The guy at the bottom is one of our contractors. I want to take just a second and talk about a special individual, Bob Kirshner, who, if you don't know him, he is the Director of Restoration at the Chicago Botanic Garden. And for some odd reason, he loves Sosa. And he has spent, I cannot begin to quantify how many hours. He calls me from vacation. He emails me at all kinds of times. He'll call me from Sosa and say, hey, I'm out here. Can you run up and talk? I mean, he's amazing. He has saved us $700 in buying parts because we decided that we needed to put in fence to protect our shrubs from the deer browsing. All of you experience deer browsing, I'm sure. So that means that we have to buy parts and pieces. And if you're working with somebody that's used to the Chicago Botanic Gardens display gardens, this is really a whole new education. The fence we protect must be black because it will disappear the most, with posts only coming green. So the 400 posts that, oh, by the way, he saved us $1 a post on. When he went to Menards himself without me and picked them out and bought them, and now I'm paying them back. And then he orders them, and he gets a roll of fence with black, and he wants to make sure the black that we're going to paint the post is going to properly match the fence. So he's going to use Rust-Oleum stop rust enamel, but it comes in flat satin and semi-gloss. So he goes back to the store, he buys 15 posts. He's doing this without me, he's just doing this on his own. He goes and he buys one of each finish of paint. He takes them back to the Chicago Botanic Gardens. He paints the 15 posts to find out, one, which matches the fence the best, which by the way is satin, and two, how far does one spray can of paint go on these posts? Now this is just in relationship to the material of the fence. We're having a lesson on how to paint posts tomorrow, and there's a whole thing on how to install this, and this is just the fence. He's been involved in these, he's been involved in everything. It's just an extraordinary gift that I feel like he's given me, and I wanted everyone here to be aware of that.
That's great.
So, he's amazing. Our expenses, sorry the numbers are getting left justified, I'm not quite sure why. But 2018, $18,000, that's for native restoration services. They are about, they've herbicided, they're going to be putting down an erosion blanket the Monday after the barbecue, and then we put seeds into the erosion blanket. And then next is Sexton Landscape Contractors. I'm sorry. The barbecue is, thank you very much, October 17th, Wednesday. The Sexton, which is the largest component of this, is going to be planting, buying, and installing the trees and shrubs. And just a note that out of that budget of $92,000, we've spent $17,500, just shy of 20%, on non-native evergreens and larger size plantings to satisfy the nearby residents. So that's a whole chunk of our budget. And next year, the project won't be totally complete this year because next year we'll be installing some plugs, you know, little baby plants, because as I think we're all familiar with, there's some standing water that's occurred always in the parks. It's better now because the sun can get to the ground, but the seed is probably not going to germinate really well in those areas, so we're going to go back early next summer and we'll be planting plugs. We'll probably have some supplemental seeding where things didn't germinate quite as we dreamed. So that's kind of the budget for there. And I just wanted to touch on Harbor with Scott because, you know, it seems like the little work's done, right? No, we're far from done. We're having to redo a little part of the trail around Wentworth, the house at the end of Harbor, the trail 280. Harbor has just sold, and they had kind of a large piece of the trail there, made it into a lovely Zen garden, and that's going to have to be reincorporated into the trail or sold to the homeowner, one or the other, but it's large arborvitae. It was really quite lovely, but now they're gone. And then Woodlawn to Scott, we're having some challenges with poor germination, and it's we're working with Piso and the village to find the good solution to this, but we know part of it is we raked up 2 tons of wood chips that had washed down from the slopes, and the village carried those 2 tons away. And there's a couple areas mid-slope where there's big bare spots. And it's because there's some Norway maples. If you're not familiar with them, they're very dense shade trees. They're also invasive. And we need to take down a couple of those because sun just cannot get to that bank to make it germinate. So the punchline here is work is going on. We're still investing in that part of the trail to make it right. It's not done. Next, I just want to show some pretty pictures of a work day on the trail. That was the one on the right is the day we raked up the 2 tons of wood chips. So lots of fun on the trail. Fun and work. And now, my last slide. Our Buckthorn Barbecue, our annual fundraising event. It's where we get most of our money to reinvest in the village, park district land. And I think most of you know that Bill Curtis is our keynote speaker.
Awesome.
And he also has been amazing. He came out to the trail one day and walked the trail, had lunch at Cameron's patio, and then we get this email of like a week ago. It's like, oh, by the way, Chicago Magazine was out at my house doing a little Photoshop, you know, because he's on the cover. And while they were there, I thought I would just have them do a little clip for you. So I don't know how to play this for you, but there it is. There's just a little, oops, that wasn't the right way. It's a little commercial. And while we're figuring that, I just encourage you, I hope the park district will consider buying a table and coming to the barbecue. It's going to be a lot of fun. We've already sold more tickets already than we ever have before, and it's still a month away. There's going to be a link underneath the picture.
It's a play button. No, it's on the picture. It's on the picture.
Walked away.
Introduced you as the Green Bay Trail, but I know for sure your name is not the Green Bay Trail. It's Betsy Lipson.
That's okay.
So
that's
we really should be on the record. Thank you, Betsy.
Thank you all. If anybody wants a little tour of the trail, you know where to find it.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Don't forget your jump drive.
Thank you very much.
Okay, so moving along, we are now going to have our presentation of the 2018 Summer Camp Report. Bobby Collins, Stephanie Briskman, Chris Petrini, and Jessica Stockel will give the presentation and then be available to answer questions from the board.
Well, another summer is over. The team is going to do a presentation tonight on some highlights from the summer.
Amanda Giacomino was also here. She's our program supervisor. She started mid-summer and did a great job jumping into deep end. And in summer 2023, really fun and safe. So for tonight, we're just going to talk briefly about the marketing we did before and during camp to encourage enrollment and information on our programs. We're still going to talk about some of the staff training. Each program manager is then going to talk about their individual camps. We're going to talk about some of the survey results we received, participation, and financial trends. So marketing, Erin did her magic. With Kathy this year, we did a multi-channel approach. We used Facebook, Twitter, our brochure, posters, WAFs, the preschool, various different ways to educate people on the offerings we have, what goes into camp, what the extended day programs are, and it's obviously clearly seen in our role this year, the results of that. Stephanie's going to talk about the training that we do this summer with staff.
So obviously our goal for training is to set up our staff for success, so they're able to work successfully with the parents, with each other, and with the children. So we pride ourselves that we spend over 20 hours of preseason time to make sure that our staff are ready to go for camp when they start. So at the end of orientation, they're able to handle difficult situations, they're able to talk with parents, they're able to work with children with different abilities. We bring speakers in, so they're able to kind of play off of each other, role play and things like that. They're also first aid and CPR certified by the time orientation is over. New year public safety came in and helped us with learning about in certain safety situations. And then on top of the general camp training that they get, they also get site-specific training. So the preschool staff works with preschool directors, program managers to get some specific training on the age groups that they are going to be working on.
So our first camp is Bear Camp, which is our youngest campers. Our youngest camper is just 21 months old this summer. We brought in some strong leadership staff. We brought in the children's circle teacher to take over the directorship of the Bear Camp. We added MSPN care for the flexible scheduling for preschoolers. And then in the future plan, we want to incorporate more leadership staff into the stay and play and MSPN care options. For kinder program, we added some new metrics this year, and we want to add more metrics in the Glencoe community and North Shore area to make them more local. For preschool platforms beginning and end, we incorporated lessons on school safety, camp safety, as well as water safety. And our future planning, we would like to elongate these days. One highlight from our summer was our parent of our 20-month-old. She had another parent ask her why she would put her 20-month-old in camp, and she said it's a room full of love, a bunch of young women who want to hang out with preschoolers. What
could
go wrong?
That's awesome.
I oversee some fun camp adventure and our summer's beginning and summer's end. So some fun is our first through third grade campers. So we have two new directors this year that both have very strong educational backgrounds. One is a teacher in the building, another is a teacher in the area. So they brought a lot of experience to be able to work with our kiddos. This year we did some new field trips. We worked on age-specific field trips. So it's kind of hard to design a field trip that a first grader and a third grader can get excited about. So we let the age groups kind of hang out with each other and also mingle with each other, with their specific age group. We also brought in some special guests on site. It's really hard to compete with the Wheeling Water Parks and the other places that we go to. So we brought a lot of things on site to make our special event days just that much more special. For Camp Adventure, we have a lot of experienced leadership staff returning. Our head counselor started as a camper, was a CIT, was a counselor, now she's a head counselor. So she has a lot of experience and a lot of ideas that she brought to Camp Adventure. This year we worked on Camp Adventure clubs to kind of gauge the interest of those Camp Adventure campers while they're here. They get to design their day while they're here and pique their interest and learn a new skill or two. We also worked on making Camp Adventure have their own special events within the umbrella of special events. A lot of parents have said, Carnival Day is just a little too kiddy for my Camp Adventure camper. So we tweaked those activities to make it geared towards those that age group. For summer's beginning and summer's end, it's the week before camp, the week after camp. So we have very experienced staff working in Joint Clinics as well. And it continues to grow each year. For future, we plan on incorporating camp docs to simplify our camp enrollment process. It's an online app, so it eliminates paper, it helps with parent communication, it helps with staff communication. We also plan to add swim shirts to address our son's protection and our son's safety. It also will help us identify the campers when we're at water because we're not wearing our participant shirts, we're wearing we also continue, we're going to continue to use the new Invisum turnaround in the back of Tacus. It really helps on rainy days to avoid traffic going back down onto Rupert Road. So, next, we continue to do that as well.
So, I oversee Action Plus and CIT. Action Plus is our sixth graders through ninth graders, CIT is seventh and tenth. So, some of the older kids, and as you guys can imagine, it's a little bit of a struggle with them to keep them active and engaged without being out and about all the time. Our favorite trips, as usual, for Cubs games and Rainbow Falls. They love just the kind of the water slides, the lakes and rivers, that kind of thing. We did go to Bartlett again, which has a zip line into a pool, and that's it was just a continuous stream of action by campers up and down that thing. So it was really fun to get out there and see them do that. One of the things that we did do this year is we stopped taking the bus from Watts over to the beach. It saved us about $1,800 in bus costs and also very sustainable. So we had a counselor go over to Watts to make sure everyone was brought over to the beach appropriately. Most of the kids did meet over to the beach with our staff. So it worked out really well except for the two rainy days. We kind of had to get the kids under the shelter and run about the bus shuttles back and forth. But for the sake of the kids, we're being free and it's great to do that this year. As far as the future plan, our lower rated trips were the beach and still lots, even though last year we cut the lot stays down from 8 to 4. So we're looking at more modular planning, meaning 1 week at a time option for signups for the older kids. So when we do that, we might cut down on both the beach trips and cut the lot trips even further, or lot stays even further, probably just down to 2 days for that. For CIT, we had our director back for his fifth year. He's done a great job with that program and also helping out with stuff he's doing as well. We incorporated more of what the counselors did into the training, so they did spend a little bit more time in the classroom as opposed to out and about, not about to collect anything with the supervision of the kids or anything, but just to get some more of that information that the counselors did get. And then what we're kind of considering doing is just add in either babysitter training or CPR training that all the staff did for the CIT, because that would be, it's an extra time for them for those kind of skills. So just kind of a value added thing into that program. And then when they're out and about, it doesn't hurt to have more people that are trained in all those areas.
Great, we also surveyed all the parents that are attorneys and participants. We had 27 more people answer this year than last year, so we had 97 responses, which is quite a lot, which is great for a community our size. They were consistent with the previous years. Some themes came through. We asked a lot of questions about why they signed up for our camps, and the three main reasons was the scheduling, the price, and friends. So those things were really important and really good for us to know where our program manager to make decisions in the future, so we prepared as well. Over 90% said they would recommend our camp to a friend, which is always a good indicator of doing a good job. And then the highest rating was our staff. Our staff received the highest rating out of all of us, out of everything we do, so that's really nice to see those hired well and everybody's adopting the culture we have here at the Park District. Financially, a very strong year. We focused on a couple of major items, especially with SunTron and Camp Adventure, overtime and busing costs. The net was pretty much $60,000 difference by making a couple of adjustments here and there, monitoring our overtime, hiring floaters for some of those attempts. So strong year, we're very happy, it was very safe, very fun. Financially, it was in good shape. Our enrollment was up. I would put a caveat there is when we compare the enrollments, it's overall enrollments in programs. So what we're seeing is people not necessarily doing more programs, but enrolling in longer days. So we're seeing extended days. So we're seeing more AMs and PM pairs. So that kind of put the number up by 5% to 1,195 camp enrollments. So we're actually comparing apples and apples.
So the conclusion, we saw some changes in our preschool admin staff, so Jess took over as our program manager. Amanda joined. It was really great to get some new blood in there, some new ideas coming. Amanda, if you haven't already met her, she's great. She's sitting here. We're seeing a demand for fuller day options and more specialty camps. We didn't cover any of the aquatic sale or STEM camps, which were very popular this summer. We're going to cover the sale of the aquatics in the future workdays. We're working to streamline and standardize communication. That is one area where we continually see parents wanting to see improvements in that area. So we're looking, we're working with Erin and her team to look at ways of making it more structured, maybe making it more in line with some of the other communications we can make across the district, standardizing it across camps so the transition as you go from Bears to kindergarten, some from the camp adventures, action quest, it's more of a similar communication and it's an easier transition for parents as well as
Does
anybody have any questions for us?
I have comments on that question.
Go ahead.
Anybody else?
Okay.
Go ahead.
I might be the only one that hasn't been in the program, so let's have a look. But the staff is really, really friendly. So Sophia was at Northbrook Park District for a part of the summer as well as in the specialty camp. And the counselors were just not very friendly. Her counselor was like, could not communicate to parents and was just, I don't know if it's a personality or what, but everyone here is super friendly and nice, and you can tell they really care about the kids, so that's a huge plus. I really like what you guys said about the swim shorts. I think that's an amazing idea. We've got the beach and the trip, and it's really hard. Are we helping that day? And it's really hard to see where the kids are and who are your kids, so that's an amazing idea. And the camp docs, that would be great to get people to have them online. And then I also saw that you put on there for the little ones to provide more in-house entertainment, which is great. I also want to mention that they did their Lego scale trips, and they were great for that age group, but they're very contained and safe for them. I saw that the safety tone, the enrollment on that was down, and I was just wondering if that cost us a lot to do, and if it's worth to keep offering that. But
that
it wasn't brought up here,
it
was in the report.
Yeah, it was marginally down $200. We did change it this year because one of the concerns last year was safety time was so short. It was 2 hours. It was very hard for working parents to find an option. So we made it into more of a pre-camp and a post-camp program. So we're very open. We got a lot of really good feedback and we had a lot of deeper meetings between all of us over the week. Meeting a lot actually to come up with ideas for next year. So we're looking at all of our camps and putting maybe some new fresh ideas in there. So we'll look at that. And again, maybe we need to communicate that program a little bit more to people so they know what's actually in that program. Because the safety camp is a very important program, I guess, my program. I understand that knowing your address, I think that's something that we need in the community. But maybe we need to look at how we communicate that and market that.
Yeah, definitely. And I visited it, both did it as well, and they loved it. I just noticed that was a fun.
Question. Are there certain certifications or requirements that the state imposes on you for the camp programs? As a certified counselor, or I know you said it's a lot about training. Being very, very important. And I don't know, is there an outside source that you use for that, or how does that work?
Stephanie has had quite a lot of experience working with the ACA, so there's no state requirements mandating us to have certifications, obviously, other than lifeguarding. Some of the US sailing and paragliding instructor courses for aquatics. But in terms of camps, anyone can really be a camp counselor if you want a certification, but if you want to talk briefly this about the certification.
So the ACA is the American Camping Association, so basically it's very similar to what ATCFS would be for a preschool. So they have requirements that they ask for. So we are slowly starting to incorporate some of those requirements. So when I was a camp director here 4 years ago, none of our staff were CCR first aid certified. If you had it, it would have been great. If you didn't, we didn't offer that. So that's part of the ACA requirements is having a percentage of your staff be first aid CPR certified. So we're slowly starting to look at those requirements and those guidelines and slowly easing them into the requirements of our staff, because obviously we want to have the safest summer and the most exciting summer, so to add those regulations in slowly.
In addition, we also, Proderma has guidelines that we follow, and through IPRA, they have a day camp committee that has a lot of that information and standards that all park districts around the state follow. And because Stephanie's part of IPRA, she has access to all that information too.
Oh, that's great.
Quick question. I'm just curious, what sorts of clubs did the Adventure Camp kids choose to create or
so a lot of it was sports. So we were very boy heavy for Camp Adventure this summer. But we had girls that do want to participate in sports. So a lot of it was Gaga, basketball, we had kickball outside. We actually had a gym teacher from an elementary school in Highland Park. He comes over in the summer. So he teaches a club as well. So that club is actually pretty popular. You have to limit the kids in that club because everybody loves sports with Coach Tommy for some reason. So it was a lot of the basketball, the soccer, the Gaga, things like that.
Was the gender imbalance this year unusual? It's usually a little more even?
No, but what was a little bit more unusual was I did have more girls that were comfortable to play sports against the boys. So in years past, I've seen girls that want to play soccer, fourth grade girls want to play soccer with fourth grade boys because boys may play harder or they might not get a turn as much as the boys do. But I had girls this year that were more confident in themselves to play against the boys. So we wanted to encourage that girl or boy.
So you think that the fact there were more boys this year is just the way things go? Some years it just goes like this.
It
ebbs
and flows.
There were some of the programs
that were girl-heavy, right?
Sailing was huge.
Yeah, it was very popular. Again, it's just a traditional Glenville thing. One person decides to go, they get 10 of them.
Exactly.
So you just have to be careful. That can skew your enrollment.
Yeah. All right. Any other questions from the board?
One question I have about enrollment. So we seem to be filling up most of our classes. How's enrollment going? We have like a 3-year trend and then kind of a 5-year district trend. Are we able to use any school district 2 years from that?
Yeah,
I don't know what percent we get or whether the problem has changed over time.
Yeah, so we did. We actually looked at our last meeting, ranking meeting, the 5-year trend, and you're seeing those spikes for sure. We did compare last year, and we've seen that there's a number of people, like 20 additional people, moved in after kindergarten into the community. So we saw first grade actually spike a little bit over kindergarten. We are expecting over the next year or two our kindergarten quarter to be a little bit lower. Given that our preschool, we're seeing people stay in our children's circle during the summer and not coming out of Victor camp. And we're seeing lower enrollments in our twos and threes. So we are expecting that. We're budgeting for that accordingly. But we are seeing some big differences in grades. For example, we had 20 new families for the school district at the beginning of the year that weren't in our summer. So we're seeing changes in enrollments. We are watching. There's no real, it's hard to tell a trend right now.
Okay.
All right.
Going good. Thank you very much.
All. Okay. Thanks. Thank you very much. Okay, so let's get on to the staff reports.
Carol, you want to go first?
Yeah, I really don't have too much to add other than I would alert you that the legal calendar with some kind of important dates is in the packet, so just maybe to have those dates handy moving forward. So it relates to the levy and budget and other financial kind
of. Yeah, hold it.
Okay, rec and facilities.
So the beach closed, which is the swimming beach closed, although it was very busy this weekend down there with the weather. The boat remains open until the 14th of October. Camp obviously ended as well, so we've been busy debriefing and coming up with plans for next year.
We had a really successful mud run, as most of you know. Just over 330 people signed up for it. Beautiful weather, really great community event, so much positivity coming out of the event. We also had full programs start the first week in September. Those have been going well. We also rolled out the expansion of Children's Circle the first week in September. So the rec team's been really busy, really making a lot of progress. People are excited. A lot going on.
Parks and maintenance, Chris?
Bobby touched on the mud run. It's just a really, really exciting event that kind of brings the synergy between all of our departments together to execute it. Other than that, I mean, we're starting fall sports field preparations, wrapping things up at the beach, starting to work at the ice rink. We just finished the facility shutdown, which is a pretty significant time here at Take It when we make the facility look new in lots of different areas. I wanted to give Aaron a little bit of a shout out. We had this parking project that you guys all may be aware of here at Take It that involved having our main entrance closed for 3 weeks. I think Aaron probably made about 100 signs. And we were able to get people in to doors they didn't even know existed before this project and get people into our facility and using our facility. And there was that dazed look when you'd see people come in and they'd be like, oh, I didn't even know this hallway was here. But to be able to operate your facility, and granted it was during a lower traditional programming time, but to be able to stay operating with that type of a project going on, it really deserves a special recognition on Aaron's part for the signage and kind of thinking through that. And Bobby's team on the facility management angle. So, other than that, any questions?
When will it be absolutely complete?
We should be wrapping up end of October. We're looking to expect the final course of asphalt over the Columbus Day weekend,
which is a
lull in programs. But looking to see that our benches and landscaping is being worked on now. So,
great.
Wrapping up here.
Terrific. Okay, Mrs. Awesome. If you call marketing and communications, please.
Right, that happened too. We've been busy with the mud run. Sorry for harassing your social media feeds. There was a few ads on there. We also did a lot with the construction, so we are actually in about a week ready to start the winter brochure. So things just keep moving.
Yeah.
Start falling though, right into
okay. Safety and wellness. Is that you?
No. Well, that's both of those two.
Both of us.
Oh,
really.
Two of you. She shared it. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Still working on loss control review. We're getting ready to do the admin section, which is Carol's section, and then the parks section. So it's always a very exciting process. Kind of have to roll open the doors and let them look through everything.
Okay. Very good. Thank you. And I have to say about the mud run, I got 3 calls from people that I haven't heard from forever, left messages saying thank you, that like I had anything to do with it, but thank you, the mud run. These are people without children who had seen it and said that was just the most fun.
Oh, great.
So
that's exciting.
I can't wait to see pictures from it.
We posted some on Facebook today.
Did you get that boy that was completely, you saw no skin?
I think I have that picture.
Okay.
I went for a run this morning and I found a totally mud-caked, what appeared to be a shoe.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Sure you did.
There's only still one.
If you're interested in a pair of shoes, I have about 40.
Yeah.
40 odds.
Yeah, odds and ends.
The back of a pickup truck covered in
mud. Oh, they're still there.
Yeah,
okay.
We figure. We told people we're old shoes that they just left them behind.
Yeah.
And I'm sure, Aaron, you'll let people know that there's shoes if they're missing them.
Yeah. I mean, we have a picture of them, but they don't look.
I don't even know.
They don't look.
Recognizable.
That would be a good Facebook picture.
They were determined.
The kids
just
actually
cried. They went and they found their shoe.
Yeah,
I think the kids fished them all out. Actually,
yeah, there was a couple of younger girls who spent a couple of hours at the Wildflower Sanctuary
with Amanda. Yeah, Amanda was covered in
dirt. Pride, I think.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. So maybe it's like it's something like Fallen Soldiers, where you're just, you can see all the shoes all together. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But nobody complained about that.
No.
In fact, they'd run through and you'd hear them scream, I lost a shoe, but it didn't stop what they were doing. They just kept going.
Just kept going, yeah.
So they didn't care.
Yeah.
Okay, so executive director report. I know you've got a
Cole, so I'm going to be real quick.
Yeah.
Distinguished accreditation, the 2-year process is coming to an end tomorrow at 8 a.m. We would start the review process. So we have commissioners and executive directors from all over Illinois coming to convene. I think there's a panel, 5 to 7, coming tomorrow.
Tomorrow or Wednesday?
Tomorrow.
No, it's Tuesday.
Yeah.
Okay. I thought I read something about being Wednesday, but.
But we're only supposed to come in from
just
8 days.
You just come in the morning, 8, just to welcome them, then you can leave. Yeah. Don't plan to stay there. It's tedious. They go through these file folders of things, of information, and then we'll find out later. It goes back to the committee, and the committee decides if we have enough points to get accreditation. But we find out, and we'll be announced at the IPRA conference. So we're excited that the NRPA is coming up, and we'll find out if we are a national gold medal winner, so that happens next Tuesday. I know that 3 of you are coming to see that ceremony. If anybody else wants to come, Indy's not that far. Jump the car. Other than that, it's pretty much nothing else to report from this. I hope you all saw that Old Elm, we're going to do the opening on Friday, September 28th. That'll give the grass time to grow in and take root. And the playground at Woodlawn, if you have gone by, you can see the equipment. And just a reminder that this firm does the playground first, and then they do all the other work, probably because they put a great amount of expense into buying the equipment, so they want to get paid out for that. So people will be like, I want to get in there, but it'll take another couple months to finish the project out once you see the playground equipment, but it makes a huge difference. But it's coming along very well. Kudos to the whole parks team and the marketing team. The advertising on this is great, and it's already looks fantastic. I think that's about it. Anything to add to this? So, our facility manager Adam will welcome his son to his family on September 10th. So we're very excited about that. So,
and what's his name?
His name is Henry. I forgot it for a second. I love it, Henry Adam.
Very nice.
Yes.
Very nice.
Okay. That's it.
Okay, thank you, Lisa. Action items. I assume everyone read this interoffice memo in our gas. I entertain a motion to approve and authorize the executive director to sign an agreement for a 36-month contract for fixed per-therm natural gas with IGS Energy at the rate of 0.3240 per-therm as presented.
Second.
Any discussion? Okay, roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Boren?
Yes.
Commissioner Kimball?
Yes.
Commissioner Lennon?
Yes.
Commissioner Underdunk?
Yes.
President Brooks?
Yes. Motion passes. Okay.
No
any
need to. Yeah.
Other business? All right. So the board will now enter into.
Oh, we don't need to.
No, and we're not going to enter into closed session.
Nope, we don't need to.
Because the game is on. No, just kidding.
Yeah.
Okay, so.
We have nothing.
That is all the way down to adjournment.
Yes.
Okay, I entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. You say aye. Okay.
Okay.
Opposed?
Motion passes.
I thought we had a discussion.
Yeah, we're moving back forward.
So we're not going to do
that. We tabled it.
Yeah.
We are not.
Well, we're not going to discuss it. Yeah, we're going to wait because we had so little time to talk about the public comments and. Dudley was out, and he didn't get to participate in that, and everything was going very quickly. So we decided that we would just table it and allow ourselves to have a little bit more time to think about this.
Thanks.
So we'll discuss the plan again at the next committee meeting, where we talk about the capital projects for the next 3 years.
Okay.
That's it.